Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in books, publishing, community. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to get our prayer life in order. Now, Michelle Simpson is known to the majority of you as a wonderful author, but I know this sister as an awesome teacher. And let me tell you, she lives what she teaches and what she writes. She doesn't mind, I tell you, stepping on your toes. Lord, let me tell you, she stepped on my toes. She didn't hit my hand so many times, but it's all in love. And I have learned so much from her teaching. So I'm not going to give a lot of to-dos and talk a lot because I really want to get into the heart of what we're doing. What we're doing, we're discussing prayer strategies. Now, I know a lot of you may say, prayer strategies? LaShira, or Read You Later, I've been praying all my life, yes. But are your prayers effective? Do you have a strategy in place? Because best believe, the enemy, he has a strategy in place. And sometimes we can even see the steps that he's taking. But are we taking steps to counteract what he's doing? So tonight I want to welcome back to Read You Later, Michelle Simpson. Michelle, welcome back to Read You Later.
Thank you so much, LaShira. Thanks for having me. It is my pleasure to be here.
Now, Michelle, I am so excited. Michelle and I have been talking and dialoguing prior to airing of the show. And one thing I want you to talk about is, why is it essential to have a strategy for prayer?
Well, I think a lot of us are not, we're just kind of letting the enemy roll up in our households and in our marriages and on our jobs and just run things. And we don't necessarily recognize that we're in a position to offer resistance. Can we give him any resistance? And so having a strategy, understanding what the will of God is in the first place, having faith in that will of God is what puts us, gives us that faith and that strong will to just say, no, this is not the will of God. And I'm not going to just let the enemy roll up in here and do what he wants to do and just carry things away. I was watching a documentary once, and they were talking about getting kidnapped. And, you know, the Bible talks about us being carried away by the winds of the world and that kind of thing. So it kind of had that same connotation. And they were saying that if a person was going to kidnap somebody and do harm to them, it's best to just not even go and just tell them, you know what, you're going to have to fight me right here, right now on this turf, because I'm not going with you. You're not going to carry me off to wherever it is you got planned for me to be. You're going to have to stand right here. We're going to have to fight each other right here, right now. And if I go down fighting, at least my family can find my body. But I'm going to be right here because you're not going to take me off and just do what you want to do with me. And so I think we have to kind of get that same mindset with the enemy. Yes, he's always going to attack us. Yes, we're always going to fight him. But he's not going to just carry us off into all these crazy places that we don't know anything about. We're going to stand here and fight him to the end. We're going to fight this good fight of faith, period. The day that we go home to be with the Lord, we should still be fighting that very same day, because that's what the good fight of faith is. Never let it be said, well, at the end, she slowed down, she stopped. You know, that's not the testimony I want. That's not the testimony I believe most believers want. We want to be victorious and effectual in our prayer life and in our walk, and that's what prayer does for us.
Now, I feel that a lot of times, because we have probably been taught this, could have been miscommunication on various entities, but we're taught, and not everyone, but perhaps in some churches, not intentionally but unintentionally, well, you know, it's just the way it is, and these are the things that are going to have to happen. So we're essentially, we're not even putting on our gloves. We don't have our gloves on.
Right.
We don't have our face mask on. What we're doing, we're standing in the ring, and we're letting the devil take punches at our family, at us.
Exactly.
On our job.
Exactly.
Because we feel that we don't have power. Now, in church, we sing about songs of power, some churches. Sometimes we realize we don't need to sing anymore. This is my first opinion. But we sing about power, but we don't. Hey, girl, that's another show. But we don't exercise that power. Can you speak a little on that?
Well, I do think, back up, because when you said that a lot of us know the will of God, but we don't pray it or we don't speak it, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, because I don't know that enough of us know his heart and know his word in order to even have an idea of what the will of God is. So, I don't mean that to say that in a condemning way, but because you're still here, because you're listening right now, that gives us hope. We can repent for not even seeking him and finding out what it is that he wanted in the situation, and we can move forward in finding out, you know, searching the word and prayer and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have? Because I think we kind of default and think that the will of God is whatever is most convenient for us, that the will of God is whatever makes us happy. And that's not necessarily the will of God. The will of God often involves a sacrifice. It often involves something that takes us out of our comfort zone. And so I think the thing that strengthens us in our prayer is knowing, hey, this is what the Lord wants. I'm on the right side as I pray for this. One of the things I talked about in the book was, you know, misguided prayers. I mean, there are people praying for somebody else's husband and being like, well, we was together in high school, so it should have been me. I'm going to need you to let go.
let it go.
Let it go, and let's move forward in the will of God. There are people, I think I've shared with you before, praying about zodiac signs, and, you know, I'm a Taurus, so I need to be with a Gemini, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people praying for, you know, increase on their job, for, you know, a higher income so they can get out of debt. But if we're already wasting money, then the Bible lets us know that what we do with little, we'll do the same thing with much. If we blow $20 a week, we're going to blow $200 a week. So it's not even a matter of the money. It's not even a matter of the husband. It's not even a matter of being a good steward of what
God has given.
Right. You. Right. But when we pray in the will of God, then what he does at that point is he positions us so that we can see the answer. And it may not even be the answer that we thought it was going to be. It may be that I don't get that promotion, but man, he showed me how to steward what I did have. Very, very well. And he increased it in ways I didn't even know he was going to increase. I thought I was going to have to work overtime or get a promotion, but as it turned out, something else came along, and it was nothing but God. So I think when we align ourselves with the will of God, and when we seek that out, and as he writes it on our hearts, even, because he said he would write his word on our hearts, if we open ourselves up to that, we'll know things that we don't even know how we know, we just know by the Spirit.
Yeah, I'm going to be transparent. You and I were talking earlier, prior to the airing of the show, that, you know, we talk about, well, it's God's will. But in my mind and what I'm speaking generally all the time, it's not God's will necessarily. It's my will, what I want.
Right.
And I have done that, went out and not afraid about things. And I've learned this year wholeheartedly that every opportunity is not a blessing. What I deem to be a blessing wasn't a curse. But it was a distraction, it was a deterrent, it was a burden. So I've learned that everything that glitters is not gold, and we say that, but when that gold starts shining in our face and all that bling bling and everything that looks good and shining starts, we say, oh, this must be God's will, but we haven't prayed about it. We haven't seeked him in earnest about it. And then we end up sometimes taking steps back because we weren't in his will. And I'm like, Lord, that wasn't your will. That was Shira's will, honey, all the way live. Hey, I'm just going to be honest by myself. Yeah. Everybody else,
you're right.
Say what you want to say. But honey, that was all Shira. That God won't end that. He ain't beep. He ain't hum. He didn't do anything. So I think it's important that we're able to discern that and take ourselves out of the equation. Would you not agree?
I agree wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, maybe 3 years ago, the Lord sat me down and I made this big list of how do I know when it's a distraction? Because I am very easily distracted when it comes to projects. And, you know, I have been guilty of being opportunity led instead of spirit led. And so there's this big list that we sat down together and made. And one of them was like this sense of urgency, like it has to be done this very second. And you feel like you can't even get in the prayer closet and pray because you got to do this thing. That's not slow your roll on that thing. You got to slow your roll on that thing. And one of my, I'm reading a book, a business book right now where it talks about, you know, if you have a really great, awesome idea, let it sit for 3 days. Come back to it. Don't do anything with it in 3 days. And come back to it in 3 days and see if that sense of urgency is still there. And in that 3 days, if I've been missing my prayer time or missing my quiet time, or maybe I'm just, you know, traveling and or I'm doing something else, that's usually when the ideas come to me, is when I'm off, out of my schedule and off track. And then I get these brilliant, like, life-changing ideas. And then I spend 6 weeks on them, and then I go, oh, this is a hot mess. That's one of the things that the Lord has really, I mean, those are there. If you look back over your life and you look back over these opportunities, quote unquote, that led you astray, you're going to see some patterns in that. You're going to notice that they happened when you were feeling low. They might have happened for a woman at a certain time, you know, or it might have happened when you were feeling broke, or, you know, after your breakup or whatever. It just might begin to look at those patterns, because see, the enemy is looking at our patterns. He knows when best to strike us with these opportunities, or quote unquote opportunities. And so because he's studying those patterns, we need to also study those patterns, because we want to be able to not only be on the defensive, but to be proactive and be like, okay, so right now, well, I'll just give you a pattern in our family that has nothing to do with the opportunities necessarily, but I noticed that when my husband and I got ready to go somewhere, we would get into an argument. Like if we were going on a family trip or a vacation or just something for the two of us or a date night, somehow or another, something would happen and I would get mad at him. And that it would take me 2 or 3 days to get over whatever I was upset about. And I just began to recognize that that was the enemy trying to steal the good times from my husband and I. And so that said, I look at my calendar. I know we're flying out Friday. I'm extra prayerful Thursday to let stuff just roll off of me and not even get upset, because I recognize that on a normal day, I wouldn't even be mad about this. But this is the enemy trying to just steal my joy and steal. I mean, my husband and I have been married 23 years. We should have some good times coming up here pretty soon. You know what I mean? Like, I want to enjoy our vacations, but we got to look for those patterns and be proactive about them, because the enemy is watching. I'm not saying this so you can be afraid, but so that you will be aware and be in a position to offer that resistance. Because when you offer that resistance, he has to flee.
Amen. And that's a good that's a good message, looking for patterns. And even in business, in education, in any corporate America or entity, profit or nonprofit, they're always watching the patterns. If you're on social media, people watch the algorithm. And the devil is the same, and we need to watch the patterns. When he knows that when he is about to attack or something's going on in our family, well, we maybe need to intercede. So that's awesome words. Now let's get to your book, War Room Strategies. And if you haven't had the opportunity, I told people this is going to be a working podcast. We're going to be working.
Yes.
So if you haven't had the opportunity to download, you can go to warriorswives.club. You can purchase the book on Amazon, or you can download. She's been a blessing, and I know that Michelle has shared that there's something that God has laid on her heart to do. And when I approached her about doing this a couple of months ago, I said, I really want to cover the family. I know that in Thanksgiving we think about being thankful for many things, and I didn't even realize this, you know, 2 to 3 months ago this was going to be election night. And Lord knows we all need prayer.
Right. Man, this is the best night to be praying,
but
right here.
This is the best night. And I was talking about a couple weeks ago, so, oh, maybe I need to counsel. This is the night that you really need to do this. So if you have your prayer strategizer with you, the battle, the start date, and the end date, why is it important to address the battle and put a start date and the end date?
Well, I think we're already in a battle. We just maybe haven't declared the battle. We have an enemy in the land. If you're a believer, you have an enemy in the land. So you're in a battle. You're in a fight. And I think we need to have that war cry. Like, I am about to fight you. You know? And so having that battle, whether you're going to name it after a person or if it's a battle for your sanity or the battle for your mind or whatever it is that you're battling for, go ahead and give it a name and a start date. And it may or may not have an end date. Perhaps you'll always be praying for a certain thing. But I think it's important to declare to yourself and to the heavens and to the enemy, I am in the fight. And so that's what kind of where that whole thing starts. You start with the naming of the battle. You put a start date. And many times you will have an end date because you're going to win this battle. You know what I mean? That's just how
Amen.
It works. So that's the big plan. So we start with that.
It also gives you some clarity because, you know, sometimes I feel, and I'm saying this to myself, that I've done this before. I declare the defeat before I even begin to fight the battle. And
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily what I say, but perhaps it's my action. You know, we
right.
speak one thing or we do the other, or we may do one thing and we speak something else. And you touched
right.
on that at the Christian Lovers Book Retreat. What we say is so powerful. And can you
yes.
just review what you were talking about when we are praying against people and we're not aware of it because we think that we are praying for them?
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little
mm-hmm.
on that?
Definitely. We talked a little bit about, in particular, praying for a husband or praying for a friend. And in my case, I was praying, I was talking to a lady, and we were talking about the things that she's praying for her husband. And she said, I've been praying for my husband, and he's just not acting right, and he doesn't do this. I said, well, what is your prayer for your husband? And she said, well, I pray that he will stop doing this, and I pray he'll stop doing that. And actually, Tia reminded me because she was like, I know you said that before. She said, I pray that he will stop getting on my nerves. That was the prayer. I said, well, well, you're praying against him. You're praying for all these things to stop. But the Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. And so what is your as though they were prayer? What is your for prayer? What are you praying for your husband? And she just looked at me, and it was just like, I don't know what to we'll pray what the scriptures pray for your husband. I mean, what is God's hope for your husband? What does God want for every person that he created? Pray that for him. Even if you don't know what your husband's purpose is, he may not know what his purpose is, all that. But just begin to pray for him because that's where you're going to be in agreement with the word. And actually, if we're praying, just as a side note, if we're praying that somebody will stop getting on my nerves, that is actually a prayer for me. That has enough, that's a prayer for me and my sanity and my peace and my convenience and all that kind of stuff. That really is not a prayer for that other person. So, I mean, we have
wow.
to find ourselves praying for people and not against them. And, I mean, I've been guilty of standing there and praying with somebody right there and being like, Lord, could you just open his eyes to how sinful he is? You know, just all that kind of stuff that. You know, you're praying at somebody. You might as well just open your eyes and talk to that person. Because if that person is a believer, especially, the Lord sees that person in the righteousness of Christ. And so for us to be able to agree with him, we want to speak over that person, not just when they're standing in front of us, but even as we talk about that person in their absence. And someone says, well, how's so-and-so doing? Child, he getting worse every day. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If that's
yeah.
what we're saying, but we're praying, Lord, raise him up in your strength. We're using our mouth as both to both bless and to curse. And so you can say to that person, I'm just praying for him still. You know, this is what I'm praying for him. And get those scriptures out. And when you're praying the word of God, you're agreeing with him that this is what God wants for this person as well. You can't go wrong in agreement with God.
Amen. And I think a lot of times we even probably pray against our situations, and we're not even cognizant of it, just as you're talking. Like if you want a new job or you're praying for peace at the workplace or peace at church or something in nature, but everything that we're speaking is negative, and we're not aware
right.
of that. We just simply think that we're praying, and it really brought to attention things that I have said, and even like what you're saying, like even pray, girl, that ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing gonna change. Okay, well, I am praying on one end, but then essentially I am cursing at the other end because everything I'm saying outside of my so-called prayer is negative, and we're not even aware of it because we're just so in tune to do so. And in conversations, that's why you have to be careful. And I was telling a friend of mine, we were talking about being positive. And I was like, you know, if you have a group of people, and my grandma had the same, she had the same, baby, the sun got to shine sometime, meaning everything in your life cannot be negative. So you have to be cognizant of it, like, something good happened today. Give me a praise report, you know, and like the old saints should say that all the time, and very seldom do we use that, a praise report, because we need some good news. The gospel
is sharing the good news.
So give me a praise report. And speaking of that,
yes,
we'll segue to get back to our strategizer. Now, if you don't have it in front of you, I'm going to do a verbal model for you. Draw yourself a rectangle and split your rectangle in half. Kind of like a four square. If you're an educator or you have students who anything about a four square writing style, kind of like a four square type of model or T model. Some people call it different things. But in one square, you're going to have thankful, and that's going to be four. On the other side of thankful, on the right hand side, you have build up, and that's five. In the middle box, draw a square inside the rectangle. That should have kingdom, one. Then we're going to have ask, six. Action, number seven. And draw a line from kingdom, additional, instruction, or insight, eight. And we're going to stop there, and we're going to deal with the first block, number one. I don't know. In which order would you like to go in, Michelle? I was going to say kingdom one.
We need to start with kingdom, and then the other ones we can probably get through one, two, and I was thinking we would get through one, two, three, and four tonight.
Okay.
Hopefully people will.
So you want
people
to repent and forgive?
Yes, yes, because
okay,
underneath
so
that additional instructions box.
Mm-hmm. Okay, underneath the additional instruction box, we're going to have the word repent in a square, and that label that two, and forgiveness, which is a forgive, number three. All right, so let's start with kingdom number one.
What should we write,
or what should be allowed to be written in that box, and why is that box labeled number one?
Well, Jesus taught the disciples to acknowledge God's holiness and pray according to God's desires in Matthew 6, when he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so first we honor God, of course. One thing I will say, too, Lashir, before we go on, is not to limit your prayer life or your time alone with God to simply this strategizer. But I did have to say that because I think it's important that we do have our time.
Disclaimer.
Yes, yes. But in that first part with the kingdom, we're asking, we're wanting to identify what is the will of God in this situation. What is it that the Lord would have, what would bring God the most glory in this situation? Where would we see peace in this? Where is the love of God in this situation? How can it be, what's going to glorify him the most? So that's what we want to get in that box. And we also want to record scriptures that address those concerns. How do we know that by scripture? Because whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you is going to be able to be confirmed by scripture. So if a person is saying, you know, well, I believe the Lord said this, I believe the Lord said that, and he does speak to his people, but what he says is not going to be different from what is actually in the Word of God, because he is his Word. So that's going to be our first starting point. So let me give you an example of what I mean by the scripture, having the scriptures as well. So I have in my book, I was talking about the wives ministry, and I put down that I want wives to be at our posts in power and prayer, and I want strong families as part of God's kingdom agenda. I want God recognized as our great source of love, life, and strength, and I want the older woman to teach the younger women what it means to be a wife, according to Titus 2 and 3. So I'm pulling out, the main scripture for me is Psalm 67, 1 through 2. And I'm going to read it if I may, because, you know, I got to read the word. I just love the word. Psalm 67,
right.
1 through 2, glory to God, says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I want God's way to be known on this earth. I want his salvation for all nations, all countries, all walks of life. And so that's a part of this kingdom prayer that I'm going to be praying for. The whole point of this, at the end of the day, by the way, is to have our scriptures ready so that we can pray those scriptures, because we're going to a prayer when we get finished with all of this. But we start off with, what is God's will for this situation? How can the kingdom of God be glorified in this situation?
Well, and I think that personally, I know I struggle with things that I wanted to do, and what you were saying, things that edify God. And even on my radio show, because I read a whole lot of, you know, different things, I found myself pulled more to gearing to programming that will help inspire and uplift people.
Mm-hmm.
And some things that I, with 3 or 4 years, people of subjects that I would perhaps talk about or discuss, or people that perhaps I would have interviewed, I no longer feel that this platform is a place for them. And I have struggled
mm-hmm.
with that, being that you want to be popular, you want to be
right.
relevant. But I have struggled with that, and I'm like thinking, okay, now, is this something that I really want to do? Is this something that I feel that my family will be proud of, or I want my children to listen to? And I think that that's a struggle, that, like you said, edifying God, because when we're in kingdom, sometimes what we want may not line up with kingdom principles. And I think that's good for you
right.
to incorporate the scriptures, because it kind of holds us accountable for it.
Exactly, and the word of God is good. It cuts you. It will cut you. And I think when in terms of these things, Lashira, you're not the only one who struggles. I mean, as a writer, I know good and well that if I wrote crazy stuff, well, what I call crazy stuff, other people might not call it crazy stuff. But I mean, I could probably crank those things out even quicker than I crank out the Christian stuff. But that's not what I'm called to do. And I know by the scriptures that in the end, we will wish that we had spent more time tending to his kingdom than the things we thought were important. So we got to keep that in front of us. At the end of the day, we're only going to be accountable for the things that we did. We're only going to receive those crowns for the things that we did for his glory. And we'll be like, man, why did I spend that much time in my life
mm-hmm.
doing blah, 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 when it had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, and we're here for his purposes and his purposes alone, and we're dead to sin, we're dead to our old selves. So what else are we doing down here? I guess we're just eating fried chicken and watching TV. I mean, we're not saying to watch more TV, you know. So,
and you know what,
a
long time, we feel, I'm talking about myself. Sometimes I feel tired, overwhelmed, and it's like you're kind of
mm-hmm.
chasing, like a dog chasing his tail, because you
yes.
overburden yourself with things that are not that won't edify him, doesn't give him any glory, and he's giving you warning. So sometimes you send people that say, "Lashira, come on, sit down. Lashira, you don't need to do that. You're doing too much."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting running. But I have learned really to take that seat and listen to their voice. And when I don't listen to my voice, he'll send people. And he'll send another person. That means, girl, you need to sit down and take a
bless
break.
God.
It's good when you have that the scripture to back you up.
Exactly.
Second square you have is repent. And, you know, that's something
yes.
that sometimes we have a hard time doing and saying, because we can see other folks' stuff. But Lord knows, when you look at the man in the mirror, you don't want to talk about your stuff.
Well, that's a big piece of this, because you know, once we begin to look at what God's will is, then we can say, okay, what have I done that's out of line with the will of God that may be contributing to the concern that I have, you know, as I'm praying for this person or praying for this particular situation. And it's not so that we will walk away feeling guilty, like, oh, man, I should have done this before. Man, what's wrong with me? I just made everything worse. But it is to come out of sin, to come out of that rebellion, or to come out of even just darkness and and ignorance and begin to walk in what the Lord has said. So at this point, when we're in repent, if you haven't already downloaded it, when you get it, you'll see that repent is actually below this dark black line. And that black line represents the solid power of the blood of Christ. He is above all things. So the things that are beneath this line, eventually you're going to end up blotting out most of it because it has nothing to do with where we're going in the future. God is so good about saying, all right, from this moment forward, he's just really, really good about that. So as far as the situation that you're praying about or the person that you're praying about goes, it's time to list how this has been negatively influenced by you. So you want to ask questions like, have I spoken anything or acted in fear or pride or lust or envy or condemnation, frustration even, as it pertains to this situation? So, you know, let's say you're praying for somebody who for years has done the wrong thing, and you just get frustrated sometimes, and you're just like, ooh, I don't know what to do with you. You know, all of that just adds to the negativity. The enemy's already speaking in their mind. If somebody is messing up their life right now, you have to know the enemy tells them 100 times a day how worthless they are. So to have it come from us again only strengthens the enemy's argument. So what if I have I offended? Have I deceived? I mean, did I lie about something in all of this? Have I submitted myself to a worldly view of this situation or of this person? I was talking with my son. He's in the Army, and he wants to be in the, I guess it's Special Forces. I guess that's like the highest up. I don't know anything about the military, so I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I just don't know. So I was like, ain't that the ones that be fighting? He was like, yeah. So I was like, why don't you, can you just go be a cook or something so you don't have to, like, put yourself in danger? Because this is just a mother's heart speaking. Like, I don't want my baby hurt. And my son said to me, Mama, you don't understand. I've been training. I've been working my buns off. And I have been eating right. And like, he doesn't even eat vegetables. Like, he never ate vegetables. But he's like, I've been eating spinach and, you know, all this stuff. I didn't do all this so I would never have to fight. And I went, okay, well, let me recognize, you know what? It hit me as a believer. We're not doing all this stuff so we don't ever have to fight. Let me go back and revisit what I've said, because I have said try to hide from the enemy. Try to get where you won't ever have to be in danger, Stephen. Come back. And the Lord is like, no, that ain't what I called him to do. I mean, I know as a mother, you know, you want this, but I need you to repent of trying to put fear in him as his mother, because he's mine. I'm like, okay, well, let me repent of that, because there I was trying to be like, Stephen, can you find something easy? Can you find something in the back? Don't be on the front line.
Now,
but it also spoke to me,
you know,
as a believer.
As a believer. And, you know, I had that epiphany when we had the event, and I was taking you and Renee back to the airport, and Renee was talking about her son and how he was coming home, and she had told him, oh, I'm not going to pick you up because you know how to catch the train from here and catch the subway from here and da-da-da-da-da. And I was thinking, well, Lord, my kids, I'm going to have to get you from the city bus, get from here to the mall. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that child's going to grow up and be just fearless, because she's instilled in him all of these things. And I think as parents, we're trying to be protectors, if you will, just like you said, and we want to guide them. But sometimes in our guidance, we're planting seeds of fear. We're not doing it intentionally, but it's that unintentional impact that will happen. And my switchboards are lit up like the 4th of July. I'm going to see if some people would like to comment or ask Michelle questions before we go on. Caller from a 727 area code, do you have a question or a comment for Michelle?
Hi, Michelle. This is Tamara.
Hi, Miss Tamara. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm actually cooking dinner as I was listening, so I was multitasking.
Oh, LaShira, I have to tell you.
Smart woman.
Before Tamara says anything, I got to tell you, Tamara and the editor of this book, Paulette Nunley, they both sewed into this book. I mean, they both sewed into it. They just gave, and I just was able to get things done. So God is good. And because of their sewing, the Lord was just like, turn that around, and just like they gave to you, you give this book to other people. So she was a sewer in this project.
Awesome. Amen. And this book is a blessing. It's a blessing. And Karen, I'm telling you, the Christian Fiction Book Love Retreat, we weren't acting like Christian. We were literally fighting over this workbook. And I got there like at 12 something, and they would say all the books were done. I looked at them like, say what? I'm like, all right now, I'm going to try to be a Christian here. Like, say what? But I ended up getting blessed with one at the end, though.
You did.
and I understand why. I can tell you why, because you know, I read the book a couple months ago, and I did a the Lord led me to do a prayer strategy, actually for my ex boyfriend, and I was reading the section in the book about praying for things amiss or praying for things with the wrong intent. And as I was reading that section, he said to me, he said, that's why your prayers for him never manifested. You were praying with a prideful heart. And so when you talk about praying for somebody for the wrong reasons, it was just, he illuminated that so vividly for me. And I said, oh, my goodness. So ever since he did that and I went through the strategizer and went through every section, I have still been growing more and more because I go back and I begin to thank God for the things that I pray for, because I believe for certain things that are going to manifest based on the prayer. And this time when I prayed, it wasn't from a selfish prayer. And one of the things that I really love about the strategizer is it keeps you in remembrance of what you're praying for. It keeps you in remembrance of what you've asked God for, what you're believing him to do. So when you pull out the strategizer and you go back and you begin to thank the Lord for manifesting these things, and also you're going to probably talk about the sections about the watch and so forth, which is one of my favorite parts, because I've learned that my thought process has to change, and he's changing my mindset because I'm confessing, Lord, you know, help me see this with new eyes and so forth. But this is a very, very, as my pastor likes to say, this is million-dollar revelation.
This is
million-dollar revelation, and if we would take the time, and take time to do it. Don't hurry through it. Don't rush through it.
Right.
Take some time and spend some time with the Lord and allow him to lead you on what to put in these pages, because it's a dialogue. It's a continual, breathing, living document, and I've been already blessed by it. And I have my beginning date of my first battle, which is back in August. So it's now November.
Oh.
So, so I've been thanking God and growing more and getting so much out of this. So I would just encourage your readers to download the book. Download the book. You're looking at it in the e-version.
Amen.
It's not going to cut it. This is work. This is work.
So
I don't
want
to take up all of your time.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
And
you all have a good one. I'm going to go back to listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take one more call from 919. Area code is North Carolina people. 919-368. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for Michelle?
No, I don't have a comment. I'm just listening and learning right now.
Bless God.
Thank you.
So
I'm sorry. I think I cut off. Hello, 919-368. You have another? Did you have something else you want to add?
No, I was just saying that I'm learning. I'm listening and learning. Really, this is my first time to the broadcast, so I'm really just.
Well, thank you for chiming in.
Thank you.
Bless God. Thanks.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm glad you were able to come.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
All right. We want people to get blessed. Now, let's talk about number three, forgive.
Yes. So let me just back up real quickly. So after you have written down the things that you're repenting for, you get the scriptures, again, that come back to it. So for me, I was repenting for being unwilling to open my house to people, because I didn't grow up in a house where people were always over our house. I just wasn't like that. But the Lord talked with me about opening my home to wives for prayer. And so the scripture that I am standing on, just even to change my heart, is Matthew 16 and 25, where the Lord is telling us, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So I'm going to blot, I'm actually instructing people to blot out the things that you repent for, because that's done and over with, and find scriptures that speak to that fear or whatever word it was causing you. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
so then we go to forgive.
The enemy, he would hang that over our head. And I was I was driving to Richmond approximately 2 years ago, and I was listening to Joe Olsen on Satellite, and he was saying, no shame on you. And he went into detail about how people are still living in shame of divorce, shame of being an unwed mother, shame of not graduating, shame of not living. He said, no. When people say shame on you, you say, no, get the shame off me. And I was, I was literally in tears. I had to pull over. But we still hold that over our head, things that coulda, shoulda, dooda, things of that nature. We hold that, and even though we think we let it go, sometimes we're not able to rise on certain occasions because we think we're still not worthy.
Right, right. And the blood of Jesus has already handled that. It is finished in Christ Jesus. And we really have, you know, I think we kind of go back and forth with, am I, did he forget? Well, I don't know, I got to do this. I didn't fast enough. I came off a fast, so, I mean, God ain't going to move now. I mean, all of that stuff, we need to let that stuff rest. Now, I believe in a good fast, but it's not to get God to move. It's to clear my ears so I can hear what he had to say. So that's a whole, that's a whole other teaching.
We're on those shows.
Let me go to forgive. And, you know, just like we're saying, what have I done to negatively impact this situation and confessing that and blotting it out and moving on? We want to do that for other people, too. I mean, what has somebody else done are you offended by something that has happened so far in this situation? Did somebody say something or do something that caused you to become upset and that may be influencing how your heart is toward this situation? And maybe the person's not even alive anymore. You know, a person doesn't have to be here. A person doesn't even have to apologize for us to forgive that person. So that's where we're coming to. And as we forgive them, we're going to blot that out as well, just like we want our stuff blotted out. Let's blot out other people's stuff, too, because, you know, just what God did for us, we want to be able to do that for other people as well. So that's the next one.
Amen.
We're going to be forgiving people. And so in my case, and again, talking about women's ministry, I had to forgive, and I didn't even realize this was in my heart until I began to fill out my own strategizer. I had to forgive the older women who did not mentor me, people that I felt owed me mentorship, people in my family, people in my church, people in my community. I just felt like in my marriage, people just were like, well, just do your best, honey. Just like you're just thrown to the wolves out there, you know, sink or swim. And honey, I had to figure it out the hard way, and you're going to have to figure it out too. But the word has told us that the older women are supposed to be teaching these things to the younger women. And so I had to forgive people that didn't even know I was. I mean, it wasn't even just one person. It was a kind of a collective group of people that I was angry with.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure you're not the only one who perhaps continue to hold these seeds. And sometimes they're unknowing, or we don't act upon them, or we think that we have dealt with more or forgiven. But sometimes I know, I'm speaking myself, sometimes I think I've forgiven certain things or certain situations or certain people. But then when you get mad, if you can still bring that back, I'm like, nah, I haven't forgiven. I've forgiven that situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what's so good?
Lord.
God will give you a new perspective on things. There was a person that I was angry with in my life, a person I felt like they should have been there for me at a certain time, and they were not. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says this person's supposed to be there for, you know, but they weren't. And as I look back on it now, I realize had that person, it was almost a protection from me that person wasn't there. Because as an adult, I realized I can look back on it now and go, okay, this is where that person was at that time in that person's mind. It wasn't right. it was a protection for me that they weren't in my life. And so when God gave me that perspective, then I was able to go, oh, well, Lord, that was you. I ain't even mad no more because that was you.
Yes.
Protecting me from the influence that that person would have had. It would not have been good. So it was good that I didn't have that person in there at that
protect
time.
Protect us from the seen and the unseen. I'm going to take a
and the unseen.
Unseen, honey. That unseen sometimes, when you find out later, you say, ooh, but God.
Ooh, thank you.
Call from 336-781. Call from 336-781. If you have a question or comment for Michelle, I appreciate you calling in and listening. Another caller from 336-883. Do you have a question or comment for Michelle?
Sure. This is Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra.
You know what? I really appreciate Michelle doing this because every time I hear her teach this, I realize there's more work that I need to be doing. And a couple of years ago, I was talking to Michelle, and it was because of some stuff she had told me about forgiveness and husbands that opened the door for me and my husband to begin to reconcile. We're not back together, but we're able to have a conversation. We're able to go to dinner.
Right. Amen.
Right. That's progress.
And so,
that's,
you know, I thank God for you and for him using you in this way because what it's doing now is preparing me for next.
But you know what? It has given you peace, and you didn't have that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I appreciate
it. God be the glory.
You know, I really appreciate, because I think that sometimes it's hard to see the impact and measure the impact of the work that God has given us to do, but you have impacted my life with this, and I am so grateful for it. And, in fact, I'm getting ready to start it up again because there's some other things I need God to just strip from me and let me see some more of me.
Well, bless God.
Amen.
Bless God. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Thank,
awesome.
You for,
thank you.
Thank you for listening and calling in. To God be the glory.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Good night. And I think what's so good about this is, you know, we always focus on other folks when we pray. This drive,
mm-hmm.
I get to see some of your mess. It's like, oh.
Right.
Yes. LaShira, you have some work to do. Why
are you
so busy peeping over here? You peeping in this window, and you peeping this window.
Right.
Girl, you are a hot mess. You are a hot mess.
Right.
You're yourself. And it helps you, like the sister was saying, something about pride and praying and pride. And I'm going to be honest. I've done this before. And you're not, you think, and you know, you got your little halo on, and you think, oh, yes, I am praying, I'm intercessing prayer. And you know what I'm thinking? A whole lot of us doing intercessing prayer, we probably need to sit down for a moment, like you were saying, oh, God, sit down and kind of work on some of our own stuff, because we're not even praying in the right tone, the right vein. We're being vain ourselves. So it's just amazing what God can give you. If you're open,
mm-hmm.
and you are open vessel and willing, and while you
yeah.
are trying to perhaps intercede and pray for others, he allows you to see your own mess that you need to get straight.
Right,
awesome,
right.
Awesome,
he is
awesome.
So good. He's so good at that. So, I mean, maybe, you know, for somebody, the first strategy is it goes to yourself. You know what I mean? What is
yeah.
God's kingdom will for my life? You know, that's
exactly.
That's, it's hard to help other folks get in line, and we're out of line, and you know, just that is probably one of the first things that I would suggest if somebody's unclear about, you know, who God is in their life, because he is so good to reveal himself to people, to his people. He's just good to do that. And I know there's a lot of acronyms, there's a lot of little things you can do, and you can memorize this and you can do that, but at the heart of it is what God really wants is what he had before the enemy came, which was to walk in the cool of the day and talk to his people. That's really what he wanted. That's what the enemy came to steal, was that fellowship that we have with him. And so I encourage anybody to just start with that as part of your prayer life and your prayer walk. So
you mentioned that in your book, you talk about spending time with God and spending time in his word, and not saying, oh, you're too busy, and I've been most definitely guilty of that. And sometimes, you know, if you look at TV Chicks or Jules, you're like, ooh, and anybody knows me well and close. I said, well, I didn't have church today. Is this a joke? But, you know, I'm not joking.
You know, she had church.
You know, I said, oh, well, I'm not in church today, honey. And
yes.
It doesn't take the place of getting in his word and getting in worship and in tune with him. And sometimes when I feel, you know, I don't talk about myself, and I feel like, oh, I'm just so disconnected, I look, and it's like, I really haven't been getting his word. I really haven't been seeking him.
Mm-hmm.
My prayers are so quick. Like, it's almost like, geez, man, I made me down to sleep. I pray, Lord, my soul
is
cheap.
Right.
Like,
God is
like,
nice. God is
girl,
good.
You, yeah. Like,
yes.
Really,
but you know what? The busier.
Here.
Yes. To stay in that same press that she was for. But the busier you are, and I know this, but and I'm not saying I'm 100% perfect at this by any means, but what I'm learning is the busier you are, the more stuff on your agenda, the more you need to actually pray. That's the more you need to take that time in the morning, because it's not going to be, I mean, if you had his wisdom and his insight on something, then what might have taken you 2 hours, might only take you 30 minutes. He's just gracious like that. I mean, and it has even hit me down to the point where I'm conscious of what hairstyle I choose, because I can't have no 40-minute hairstyle, because I got to have my time in the prayer closet. And this year was a really tough year in terms of coming against just offering resistance to the enemy and just fighting. And I told my friends, I declare this the year of the fake ponytail, because I don't have time. I got to pray. And it became the year of the fake ponytail up until about September. I kind of cut it off, but it was the year of the ponytail, not just because I was being lazy about my hair, but because I needed that time in the word and in his presence. And so even if it means, okay, I'm going to have to reorganize my shows, I'm going to have to record this because I can't stay up till 11 because I need to get up at 6 or 5:30, if that's what it takes, I'm telling you, your day will go so much better if you start off
Because you know what? We may take time, we may not take the time, but the devil most definitely, he has time. The only thing he has is time, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right. That's his
everywhere
job.
He goes. So we need to be by our father's business. We need to get on our job, because it's sometimes there are things that I have not perhaps wanted to do, or I said, oh, just like at the beginning of the year with my book club, I do something. We do like a vision board or a prayer part, something like that. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that this year. And then there were things that people said to me this week that made me realize, oh, Lord, I got to do it. Because I was like, and it wasn't what the Lord was telling me. Just like, for sure, like, I ain't doing it this year. We just going to start off the year and do something else. And I was thinking of something fun to do, and down to them. One person in confirmation, another person. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay, I'm listening. Because I was going to do what LaShira wanted to do. I'm talking about, like, what
mm-hmm.
That was like, do what LaShira wanted me to do. So it's just, it's amazing sometimes when you open yourself up and you listen and you're getting in tune with him, you're able to hear his voice and him speaking through other people to you. So I know time is getting near. So I guess let's see, where are we going from here? We're going for thankful.
We're going back up to thankful. We're going back up to thankful. So this is a great place for us to end tonight. But at this point in the situation that you're praying for, and I want you to be specific in your prayer strategizer. It shouldn't just be, you know, for my whole family. You know, pick the Lord will give you the specific person or people who need some very specific prayers, because sometimes people, you know, we don't necessarily know how important our prayers are for somebody. And we kind of assume, well, you know, he got a mama, he got a cousin, he got people praying for him. He go to such and such church. But that doesn't mean there's actually somebody praying for that person. And not only that, but we got to remember the people who prayed for us before we knew better, before we knew anything. You know what I mean? There were people praying for us a lot of times. People we didn't even know. we're praying for us as well. And Jesus is praying for us in Hebrews, I think it's 7:25, always interceding for the saints. So be specific in your strategizing was my point in that. But getting up to thankful, what is it that has happened that you are thankful for in this situation? Because no matter what's going on, it could be worse. So what are we thankful for? I've been thankful for all the technical and financial presentation, the resources that are available now to help with ministry. I'm thankful for the vision. I'm thankful for an imperfect marriage that actually helps me to minister to wives even better because of where we are in our marriage and that kind of thing, and where, I shouldn't say where we are, where the Lord has brought us and where he's taking us. So what are we thankful for? And that needs to be very, we need to thank God for what he has already done. And there's probably some, like we said, unseen stuff that we won't even know what to thank him for completely until we get to see him face to face. But what are we thankful for? And that's what we're getting back up to, the things that are above the line. I'm sorry, my dog is barking.
Oh, that's all right. I'm going to take one more caller, 919-357. 919-357, you have a question or comment for Michelle?
Hey, Aunt Michelle.
Hi there. This is my niece, Michelle.
I'm loving this, and actually when you were saying it about your son, I talked back to a couple of months ago when my son wanted to try out for football, and I was like, Lord, I do not want him to play football, and I was actually praying against it. And he came home, he's still doing the tryout process, because I just didn't want him to play. I was like, he's going to get hurt, you know, and he was like, I made the team. And I was like, how you made the team? You haven't even seen the paper yet. He was like, I made the team, I got faith, and I was like, oh, Lord. And I had to repent, like, I'm up here praying against something because I didn't want him to play. But he wanted to play, and he played, and he made the team, and he's been good. And I'm like, Lord, it's not what I want.
Right. So, he may be able to minister to people on that team. And just you know what, Michelle, just start praying Psalm 91. That's what I had to do because I was like, okay, I clearly the Lord has a plan for my son that has nothing to do with me feeling safe. So –
right.
I'm going to have to stay
right.
In Psalm 91.
Yeah, and that's that's one of my favorite scriptures, too.
Yes.
Well, Michelle, thank you for supporting and calling me and sharing.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, niece. I'm so sorry. My dog, you know, my dog is anointed, y'all, though, for real. So don't talk bad about it. She's anointed.
She wants to tell us something. Well, Michelle, we're going to stop right here. And we're going to pick up next week. If you have not downloaded the book, please take the time to download the book. If you want to ask questions, you can inbox me questions. I'll keep the line of communication open next week as well. And just getting your word, getting the Bible, you strategize. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to fight. We are not going down. We are going higher and higher. And we're going to learn the tools of effective prayer because our day has all that we need. Michelle, thank you for coming on and agreeing for doing this 2 week workshop that we will be lifted in the Word of God and learn more and to grow more. And so from my house to yours, Read You Later, I would love for you to download this book and share with your friends, get it with your colleagues at work, your ministry leaders, your women's ministries, and really learn the tools of effective prayer. From my house to yours, have a wonderful week. Read You Later, and good night.
Good night. Thank you.